Gospel by Matthew, chapter 15. Matthew, chapter 15, and we want to begin our reading at verse 21. And then we want to read the parallel passage in Mark's Gospel account in Mark, chapter 7. Matthew 15, verse 21, we read, "Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. And he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour." Now from the Gospel by Mark, chapter 7. And we begin our reading at verse 24. This is Mark's account of the same incident. "And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and entered into an house, and would have no man know it, but he could not be hidden. For a certain woman, whose young daughter had an unclean spirit, heard of him, and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it unto the dogs." Now, my purpose in reading Mark's Gospel is the hope that is found in the word, "Let the children first be filled." Tremendous amount of hope for someone without a covenant relation in that expression. So, verse 28, "And she answered and said unto him, Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, For this saying go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out, and her daughter laid upon the bed." And may the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let's pray. Loving Father, we thank you for this incident, and we thank you for the grace and the joy that it produces to those who take it seriously and realize what a blessing it is to be in a covenant relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. Now we thank you for this, and we pray that thou wilt impress it upon our minds and upon our hearts, and enable us to grasp the truth that he's here for us, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I didn't know if I had turned that on or not. Our Lord on occasion withdrew from the crowd, and this was one of these times. Now, he said he was not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel in this passage, and the place to which our Lord retired was not into Tyre and Sidon, but on the coast of Tyre and Sidon. I think he got to the northernmost coast of Israel. Now, the inhabitants of Tyre and Sidon were Canaanites, the original inhabitants of Palestine. Now, when you consider the Canaanites, you can find them in the Table of the Nations in the 10th chapter of the book of Genesis. These Canaanites were pagans, and they bore ill will toward the Jewish people. We don't know of any other ministry that our Lord performed in their region, nearby to them, except the miracle that he's here recorded. And this is a great miracle. And I have labeled this message the importance of a covenant relationship. You see, you and I by nature are just like this woman. And in this miracle that our Lord performs, what he is doing, he is showing the drops of mercy that are about to break upon the Gentiles once the new covenant is in force. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 12 says that you and I are to remember that we were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. We were without hope and without God in the world. That is the condition of the Gentiles by nature. God never made a covenant with them. You and I, who had no covenant relationship with God, such as Israel had, now by divine grace are brought into the new covenant. And that new covenant that is outlined in Hebrews chapter 8 and in Hebrews chapter 10 and prophesied in the book of Jeremiah, that new covenant was instituted by the Lord the night in which he was betrayed, when he took the cup and he said, "This is the new covenant in my blood." And tonight, we who once were afar off are brought near, made near by the blood of Christ. We who were without a covenant are now partakers of the new covenant. And when you consider the range of the blessings that the new covenant possesses, it is thrilling. And when you consider our Lord's activity toward this woman who had no covenant relation whatsoever with the Lord, we see the great drops of mercy that are falling from the Savior himself. There's a Bible teacher that I heard a number of years ago. His name was Alex Stewart. He wrote a number of books, and my father had a book that he had bought of his long before I knew the Lord. And I met Alex Stewart in his later years, and I said, "I read a book that you wrote." He said, "What did you read?" I said, "Crumbs from the Master's Table." "Oh," he said, "I didn't know there were any crumbs around anymore." But it was a great book. You know what it was on? The Epistle to the Hebrews. That book that brings us into the blessings of the New Covenant. And when I read this portion and meditated upon it this week, my soul was again blessed. When I realized my condition by nature, according to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12, I was an alien from the commonwealth of Israel. I was a stranger to the covenant of promise. I was without hope. I was without God. I was in the world, the worst place possible to be. That was my condition by nature. That was the condition of this Syrophoenician woman, or as she's called in Matthew's gospel, the Canaanitish woman. Now, the daughter of this Syrophoenician woman was plagued by a demon. And this woman heard of the reputation of the Lord. And the scripture tells us, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Rahab the harlot exercised faith. How did she know? She heard. She heard, faith cometh by hearing. And what she believed a 40-year-old rumor of what God had done when he brought Israel through the Red Sea. And what happened to Sihon, king of the Amorites, and to Og, king of Bashan. And he says, and she said to the spies, "There is no strength left in us." Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Here is a Gentile woman. Rahab was a Gentile woman. Here is one who heard, for she went to where the Lord Jesus was. She approached him. Now, our Lord's response to this woman reminded her that not being an Israelite excluded her from his ministry. That's what he reminded her. He said, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He reminded her that she was on the outside. She was not an insider. She was an outsider. And you know, I had no claim upon God as a Gentile. And neither do you. Outsider. Just like Ruth in the Old Testament, a Moabite, in the condemnation, the nation over which God says twice in the Psalms, over Moab I will cast out the... No, Moab is my washpot, is what he said 2 times in the Psalm. Moab, and what he says in the book of Deuteronomy 25, a Moabite shall not enter the into the congregation of the Lord unto the 10th generation, yea, even forever. And yet Ruth, she enters. And she enters because she's redeemed. And beloved, because you and I have been redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, the Lord Jesus, when he inaugurated the new covenant, he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Because we've been redeemed, beloved, we've been brought in for all the blessings that God has for us in the new covenant. I want you to notice 3 things concerning this woman tonight. First of all, her difficulty in approach. And then second, her difficulty in appeal. And then finally, her problem solved. Her problem solved. And I like the solving of the problem. But we got to notice the difficulty. The difficulty in approach. When she approached the Lord, she approached him as a son of David. Notice what she says, and I'm reading Matthew's account, by the way. And we read in verse 22, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. And she approached the Lord using the term, the son of David. Now, using this term acknowledged that he was the one who fulfilled the promises of God. She acknowledged that he's the one who fulfilled the Davidic covenant of 2 Samuel 7 and Psalm 89 and the other great prophecies of the Old Testament. But this woman is an outsider. She had no claim upon him as the son of David. No claim whatsoever. Were you ever an outsider? Do you know what it is to be an alien? Did you ever land on an airplane in a strange land and you realize that you can't communicate and you realize you're an alien? It is a strange feeling. When I went to Haiti to visit with my friend Peter Galinsky. And I saw Peter up on the... He waved to me when I walked off the airplane. But the moment you went into the airport in Haiti at Port-au-Prince, you realized that you were in a regime that was run by a dictator. And the army was in charge. And the man... I couldn't speak French Creole, and he couldn't speak English. I know now what he wanted. He wanted some money, but it's hard to get money out of a Dutchman. You know, I wasn't going to slip him any money in order to get through easily. And I was the first off the plane and I was the last one to be processed. I just stood there. And I knew that I was an alien in a strange land. And I simply waited. Finally, there's a woman who could speak English and also Creole came over, and they finally sent me through. But the thing is, it's a strange feeling. How did this woman feel. She saw in Christ the fulfillment of the promises that God had made. But she was on the outside. She had no claim upon them. And you see, that's where the Gentile was by nature. By nature, he was outside of all the promises that God made in the Old Testament. They were made basically to Israel. Oh, I know there's some Gentile promises, promises of blessing to the Gentiles. And maybe she had believed those promises, but nevertheless, she approached the Lord Jesus as the Son of David. But then second, her difficulty in her appeal, her daughter had a specific need. She was demonized, and her mother requested help for the problem. Now, in our Lord's response to this woman, we see the first drops of mercy, which are yet to fall in a mighty revival among the Gentiles in this glorious age of grace. Here we see the drops of mercy. Now, our Lord encourages persistence. Often, we're not too persistent in our prayers. Luke 18 teaches us that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And then he gives a great illustration of the woman who went to the unjust judge, and she continued to badger him for what she wanted. And there's a great lesson for us in persistence. You see, three times this woman beseeched the Lord. Now the first time is evidently outdoors. Chapter 15 and verse 22 would give us this idea. She cried, "Have mercy upon me." And she came out of the coasts and she cried unto him. And the second and the third time were in the house where our Lord was staying, and according to Mark's gospel, he wanted to be hidden. But when she gets inside the house, and she is rebuked, she worships. She falls down and she worships him. She recognizes that he is more than a man. He is God, manifest in the flesh. Now our Lord's first answer to the woman, to her first request, he didn't say a word. But to the second one he said, "I'm not sent, but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. You don't belong to the proper group. I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." In the second appeal, the third appeal, the Lord said to her, "It is not right to take the children's food and give it to the dogs." That would be enough to turn anybody off, wouldn't it? What's our Lord doing? He's teaching this woman. You know that verse in John 6, verse 37? I'm only going to quote the end of it. John Riesinger would tell me I can't, but I'm going to. Then I'll quote the first part and the last. But the end of it says, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." Here is one who came. Here is one who by nature had no claim whatsoever. But here we see the greatness of the mercy of the Lord. Now lest I offend, let me quote the whole of the passage. "All that the Father giveth to me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." What did our Lord do when he said it's not right to take the children's food and give it to the dogs? Christ was not being offensive, beloved. He was simply stating the truth that he had said previously in a different way. He said, "I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." You see, this woman didn't qualify for his attention. No covenant relationship had ever been established with a Canaanite. In fact, like Moab, the Canaanites were under the curse. the Canaanites were under a curse that even existed before Moab was born. For the Canaanites came under the curse that Noah pronounced upon his grandson. You talk about someone without hope and without God. Here is the picture. You see, no covenant relationship existed for the Canaanites as it did for the Israelites. But no covenant relationship, friends, existed for us either. Today, Gentiles are included in the blessings of the New Covenant Gospel Age. They're included. For the Lord Jesus, when he went away, he gave a commission. And he said, "Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations." Furthermore, when I read the 7th chapter of the Revelation, I find a vast multitude that no man can number, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Hymn number 20 in our black hymn book that we use at the Lord's Supper begins with the words, "All for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise." This was the desire of Wesley, that over a thousand different languages would exalt the Lord. And you know, the language of the Scriptures is almost at 2,000 now. Over almost 2,000 languages, the Word of God has been translated into. And we could sing, "Oh, for 2,000 tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise." But there's a vast number in that day that are going to stand before the throne of God, washed in the blood of the Lamb, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. For the Gentiles are today included in the rich blessings of the New Covenant. Now let us notice the difficulties removed. We saw the difficulty in her approach, the difficulty in her appeal, but now the difficulty removed. To the first appeal, the Lord answered not a word. Verse 23. And even though she was not answered, she was heard. And beloved, there are times when we may pray, and it appears that heaven doesn't know what we've said. We're heard. God hears us. You see, silence on God's part doesn't mean deafness to our request. He hears. This is wonderful to realize. For many times in our lives we think that God doesn't pay attention when we pray. But he does. He knows all our requests. You see, the Lord, by his silence, is seeking to instruct this woman. And as he instructs her, and here's where I like Mark's gospel account, for our Lord holds out hope. He says, "Let the children first be filled." I like that. And isn't that an order in the New Testament? Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile." And in the process of the gospel going to the nations, when the apostle Paul went forth on his missionary journeys, he went into the synagogue. He presented Christ to them. He went to the Jew first. And the sad part about it, instead of the children being filled, many of the children rejected the message. But the Gentiles received it. But when our Lord said to this woman, "Let the children first be filled," he's extending hope to this woman. You see, the statement implied that others would be filled later, and how true that was. Remember Paul. He wanted to go north into Bithynia, Acts chapter 16. And he wanted to go north when the Spirit of God said no, and then he wanted to go into Asia, and the Spirit suffered him not. And in a night vision, he saw a man from Macedonia saying, come over and help us. Come over and help us. And Paul knew that the will of God was to go to Europe, and into Europe he went. And when I followed Paul's journeys, his second missionary journey into Europe, I stand amazed at how God works. He went first to Philippi, from Philippi to Thessalonica, from Thessalonica to Berea, from Berea to Athens, from Athens to Corinth, and from Corinth to Asia, Ephesus. And when he went to Ephesus, 3 years later, that was where he wanted to go in the beginning, but 3 years later, he could write, all that be in Asia have heard the word of the gospel. My soul is thrilled when I read that, for I see that when a person moves in the will of God, God accomplishes his purpose in his time in accordance with his will and his way. Let the children first be filled. We read in Luke, in Mark's gospel account. And beloved, as we watch here in the unfolding of the story, we can see how God graciously moved in this woman's heart to bring her to the place where she worships him. And then when our Lord said, it's not right to take the children's food and give it to the dogs, our Lord used the diminutive word for dogs that would constitute a puppy or a household pet. Or a household pet that waits under the table for a crumb. And at this point, the woman grasped the grace of God. For she said, Lord, the children eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. And what a picture, beloved, of us who are Gentiles by nature. We were outside the camp of Israel, strangers to his covenants and aliens from the commonwealth, outside, but it's our joy to eat of the crumbs. We were filled later. The gospel went to the Jew first, but eventually it came to the Gentiles. And we who were without hope and without God now have a blessed hope. And the scripture says, looking for that blessed hope, and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. And that blessed hope we have, beloved, is a fulfillment in totality of new covenant blessing. When I say the fulfillment in entirety, when you come to biblical prophecy in relation to the new covenant, you have the now and the not yet. You have the now, that those blessings which we now possess by divine grace. We have the not yet, those blessings which are yet in the future. But they are just as sure as a throne of God. And here we have the mercy of God manifested toward this woman. Now, this term dogs, was one of reproach on the lips of a Jew. He called a Gentile a dog, those dogs of the Gentiles. But it wasn't a word of reproach on the lips of the Savior. No, it was a word of hope to a woman who was without hope. And that woman turns to the Lord, and she says, Lord, I'll be your puppy. That's really what she says. I take my position. I have no claim upon you. But I'm willing to take my position before you and receive from you. Beloved, anyone who comes to God and thinks they have a claim upon God are totally wrong. God doesn't owe us anything. But when we come to him and we take our position, Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm lost. I'm without hope. But I've heard of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, whereby God received sinful men in that Christ has died in their behalf. He bore the judgment of their sins on the cross. And when we come taking our place before him as a lost and hopeless and helpless sinner, it is then that we learn the reality of Romans 5 verse 6, where it says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. In Romans 5 verse 8, God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And it's amazing. Our Lord looked at this woman and he granted her request. He granted it. You see, she took her place as a Gentile without a covenant relation to God. Her faith was persistent and she placed her faith properly in the one who could meet the need of her daughter. But I'm convinced that our Lord not only met her daughter's need, but he met hers too. He met hers too. So here in this passage, we read in verse 28, then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. In conclusion, I'd like to ask a couple questions tonight. Question number one, are you rejoicing tonight in the blessing of the new covenant? You know what it says? It says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. I will put my laws into their mouth. Into their minds and in my heart, I will write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more forever. That's a new covenant, beloved. The taking away of our sins, the giving us a new heart, the ability to approach God in love and in acceptableness before him. The greatest thing that we can learn in experience in life is acceptance. People labor for acceptance. Acceptance. I know people who would give their eye teeth to belong to the country club. They want to be accepted. Acceptance. But you know, when I realize that we are accepted in the Son of his love. I am accepted because I am acceptable. I've been made acceptable because in conversion, Christ removes our sins. That's forgiveness. And he bestows his righteousness. That is justification. And I am accepted because I am acceptable. I am accepted in Christ. Ephesians 2, that says how we were aliens and strangers without hope, without God and in the world. That very passage says we who once were far off are made near by the blood of Christ. Are you rejoicing tonight in new covenant blessings? Does it thrill you? When you read the promises that God extends in the Old Testament, when I read passages like Isaiah 65 and 66, it's thrilling beyond words. Are you rejoicing in the new covenant blessings? But the second thing is this. As a Gentile saved by grace, we may now draw near. There's nothing to prevent us from coming near to God. And Hebrews 4 says, let us draw near. Let us come boldly unto the throne of grace. We come with boldness, not with brashness, but with boldness to the throne of grace. And the reason we can, by faith, we have laid hold of the truth of the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 says, let us draw near with a true heart and in full assurance of faith. So as a Gentile now, saved by grace, there is now a covenant relationship. I can now draw near. Furthermore, I can make known my request. I can make known my request. The Lord never says to us, you have no right to come. He invites us to come. He invites us to come. That's the difference. A new dispensation. I know we don't like a lot of people don't like that term, dispensational. But I'll tell you, it's here. If a new dispensation hasn't arrived, I'd like to know what it is. Oh, it has, beloved. Our Lord doesn't say to us when we come and make a request, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He doesn't say that. He accepts us. He accepts us. We make our request. Furthermore, we worship freely. We have the freedom of worship because there is a freedom of acceptance. And in His presence, there is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Christian friends, are you enjoying it tonight? Or if you're here tonight and you know not Christ, and you're still without hope and without God, you see, the evidence that you're born of God is a desire to draw near and to fellowship with the One who has made it possible. There was a time you had no claim at all, but now you're accepted because of Jesus Christ. We are made near by the blood of His cross. That's our portion. Let us rejoice in it. If you're here without Christ, stay behind. Let's have a talk with an open Bible. For you need to be sure that this is yours. Now let's pray. Loving Father, we're thrilled tonight with the thought of the new covenant. Our sins and iniquities removed as far as the east is from the west. We're accepted and acceptable, all because of our Lord Jesus Christ. We can approach Thy throne without fear. We can worship before Thee and rejoice in the blood of Calvary's cross. Take the word, bless it to every heart, and may we rejoice afresh in the new dispensation that was inaugurated in the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank You that He is now the administrator of this new dispensation, for You have raised Him from the dead and exalted Him at Your right hand. Receive our thanks in His worthy name. Amen.